Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a pleasure to be here. I feel so welcomed every time I come here with the body. Joe and Brenda treat me like royalty when I'm at their home. Every day's a holiday and every meal's a feast. It's just been a really wonderful time getting to know everybody and each time I come here, and it's just it's really a great time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this privilege of gathering, another day of life, another day to serve you. Please bless our time together, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us ears to hear. Give us hearts to receive, Lord. May it all be done for your glory, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So we're going to be looking from the book of Acts, otherwise known as the Acts of the Apostles. I heard someone say that it's more like the Acts of Jesus Christ through the apostles, which is true. So let's look at some of the acts of what they actually did. So I would say that one of the first acts we see is that they prayed. They were very prayerful. They continued in prayer. Another act of the apostles were that they preached. They were preachers. They went everywhere preaching Christ. They were persecuted in their proclamation. They went and they preached the gospel and they were persecuted for what they were saying. They were told not to preach in the name of Jesus Christ, and they went out and they did that. And then ultimately they persevered to the end. Many of them died a brutal death at the hands of wicked men, and they persevered through all of the hardships that happened in their lives. And we see all through the book of Acts what people went through, these men went through. So let's just look at the first one that I mentioned, prayer. But let's read from the scriptures here in chapter 3. We'll just read the first 8 verses of chapter 3. And this is where Peter and John are going to the temple to pray, because prayer was very important to the apostles. And we'll just read the first 8 verses here. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the 9th hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look unto us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He, leaping, stood up and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. So they were on their way to go pray. And now I have a friend, he says he thinks that they were really going to preach. And that's what preachers want to have every opportunity. They want to go and preach the gospel or every chance they get. But even if that was the case, he would still be bathed in prayer. Our preaching has to be bathed in prayer. So we want to look at prayer here, because they were on their way to go to the hour of prayer. It was very important to them. If you see in the first chapter, chapter 1, verse 14, it says that they continued in one accord in prayer and supplication. It also says in chapter 2 here, this is just before we see Peter and John going to the temple. We just had Pentecost in chapter 2. Thousands of people get saved. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So prayer was very important to the apostles. So what is the question is, though, what is prayer? I mean, it very simplistically, it's communing with God. It's where I talk to God through prayer, and then he talks to me through his word. So we commune with one another. It's another thing is, it's a drawing near to God. When we go in prayer, we draw near to God. That's why our prayers are very important, how we pray, because we want a nearness. We don't want it to just be a common thing that we do just out of a reaction. I get up in the morning, I pray, and I go to bed at night and I pray. It's more to that. It's a drawing near to God when we come together in communion with God. And, you know, to think about that, it's really simplistic as far as a child, when a child goes to their father and talks with their father. Thomas Watson, the Puritan, he said that verse where it says, and they cried, Abba, Father. We cry, Abba, Father. He says that crying is the fervency of prayer, that we cry before God. And he said, and the Father, Abba, Father, is the faith in our prayer. So we want our prayers to be fervent. We want them to be filled with faith. And we see examples of this in the scriptures, all through the scriptures, of praying men. King David, I mean, we read the Psalms. He was a praying man. We look at Daniel, 3 times a day he would go. Even when the decree said, you will not worship other gods, he went 3 times a day and he prayed. And I 3 times a day is just a good example, but we want to be continually in prayer, as the Bible tells us. Not only does God command us to pray, because it is a command, we're to do it continually, without ceasing, in everything, we're to be in prayer. And he not only does he have us do that, but he also blesses our prayers. So if you look at like Hezekiah, when the Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, was coming to take over that kingdom, what does Hezekiah do? He gets the message and he lays it down before God and he cries out to God and he prays over it. Another one where he finds out he's going to die and he prays, and what does God do? God gives him 15 more years. God gave him more than he thought he would get. We look at when Solomon, in the scriptures, Solomon prayed for wisdom. And what did God do? God gave not only wisdom, but he also gave him riches and honor. It is Hannah. She's praying and Eli is watching her. And what is she praying for? She's praying for a son. And not only does she get a son, but she gets a prophet on top of it. The Canaanite woman who with Jesus, she cries out for life for her daughter. She wants life. She got life for her daughter, but she also got life for her soul. God did a work in her too. So when our prayers, God gives us more sometimes than we could ask or think. Jeremiah, he says, call upon me. He says, call upon me and I will answer thee. And I will show you great and mighty things that you know not. And he does that, and he shows that all through scripture. He shows how faithful he is when we come to him in prayer. So we're to do it without ceasing. We're to do it in everything. He said, the Bible says, in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make our request known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and our mind. What a wonderful promise there, that when we come to God in prayer, that he is going to bless us with peace. And especially in the world we live in today, don't you want peace? I mean, if we look at our surrounding and what's going on in our world today, it doesn't look very peaceful. But when we go to the Lord for everything in our lives, whether it be small or great, So many times we do things out of a knee-jerk reaction. The phone rings. Hello. We don't take time sometimes to say, Lord, bless this conversation that I'm about to have with this person. Or it could be something that, yes, the doctor said it's terminal. And we're not prepared if we're just doing everything just out of knee-jerk reaction. We have to do things as Christians prayerfully, thinking about what we're called to do in our lives. I don't want to be like that. I want to bring everything before God. Now, I know there's times where it just catches you off guard and stuff like that. But in the small things of life, too, we're to be prayerful. And then the big things. Sometimes that's when we go to God, right? When we have the big things in life that we need to come to Him for. Because sometimes we don't want to bother Him with the little stuff. But we want to bring the big stuff to Him. It reminds me of John Newton has a hymn. And it says, you are coming to a king, large petitions with you bring. For His power and grace are such that none can ever ask too much. We need to go to God with the big things and with the small things. It honors God with our prayers. When we pray big prayers, it's knowing that God can do all things. And it reminded me of I looked it up after because I heard about it, and it's a story about Napoleon. Napoleon was fighting a battle. And it was a fierce battle to take an island. And they fought, and they finally won. And then him and his generals were celebrating. And a young officer went and asked for the audience of Napoleon. And Napoleon brought him in. And he said to Napoleon, he said, sir, give me this island. And all the generals looked at him. But Napoleon pulled out a piece of paper and he wrote the deed to the island and he handed it to that young officer. And that officer took that and left. And the generals looked at him like, what did you just do? He said, he honored me with the magnitude of his request. We honor God with the magnitude of our request when we come with big things before God. Prayer is so important. If for a Christian, it's as natural as breathing for being alive. I mean, it should just be part of who we are. And God promises to do great and mighty things that we know not. And now what's the opposite side of that? The opposite side of that is prayerlessness. You know, if you're not praying about things, if you're not going before God in prayer, you're saying, I don't need you, God. Charles Spurgeon said, prayerlessness, a prayerless soul is a Christless soul. I believe that. Because as Horatio Bonar said, he said in the morning when he would get up, he said he met with God. He said, you know why? He says, I meet with God before I meet with men. Because we want to meet with God before we meet with men. I mean, look at the world we're in. We want to come before God. We want to get our closeness and our communion with God before we come out into this world and see all the things that are going on in this world. And interesting enough here is that the apostles were going and they see the lame man here laid at the temple asking for alms. And they look upon him and he says, silver and gold have I none. So much for the prosperity gospel there. He wasn't preaching that. He said, I don't have anything. He said, but what I have in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. I thought that was interesting. Here, Peter just comes off of Pentecost. Just preached, thousands of people get saved. I mean, what is he thinking now? I was like, all right, let's go to the prayer meeting. We'll go preach, see hundreds or more get saved. I mean, as a preacher, if thousands of people got saved, I would be joyful. And I'd be thinking, what's the next thing? If God's moving this way, how's he going to move the next way? And I don't doubt that they probably may have been thinking that. But here they are walking and they see this one man, one lame man. And it was enough for them to stop on their way to go pray and care about this one soul. And through the scriptures, we see that. We see some people just for one soul. I think of Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch. He went out. It was just one man. And he went out and he spoke to him. I think of when Jesus Christ was going through Samaria, it said he needed to go through Samaria. Well, if you know anything about the Samaritans and the Jews, there was a conflict there. The Jews had nothing to do with Samaritans, but Jesus needed to go through there. Why? Because he had that one person, which wound up the whole town wound up, a lot of them getting saved, but it was that one woman. I heard someone say she came with a bucket, but she left with the well. Thought that was a neat. But Christ took the time for that one person. So that's why us as individuals, part of the body of Christ, we're to be thinking about that in our daily routine and how we do it. Because he says in the first part of this, it says, and you are my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Those are our marching orders. Those are our command that Christ has given us to be witnesses throughout this world. So we're to do that. And whether it be one or whether it be many, we're to be faithful in what God has given us. He's given us his word. He's given us the gospel. And we're to go out and be faithful in that. Now, as far as preaching goes, you know, not everybody is called to do what I do, and that's stand up in the public forum and publicly proclaim Jesus Christ. But I've been saved, and I am thankful for God for what he's done for my life. I cannot keep it silent. I like Jeremiah said, I have a fire in my bones. I can't keep it silent. I have a message that can save men, that can take them from death to life. And because of that, I want to proclaim it to everyone. So for me, just sitting and going to church on Sunday is not enough for me. And I pray that it's not enough for you. And like I said, you don't have to do it like me, but in your sphere of life, as you go, as you work, as you raise families, you can be that light. You can be that one who is faithful with God's word and not be ashamed of the gospel when you're in the lunchroom and someone says something off color and you have the opportunity to step up there and say, speak light and truth into that situation, to be faithful in those opportunities. I want to be that person. I want to be that man who isn't ashamed of the gospel, who when I have the opportunity, I'm going to stand up and publicly proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. I mean, we have a message that it saves. Our message of the gospel. The apostles knew this. And what does he say? He says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The power is not in Mike. The power is in Jesus Christ. The power is in the name of Christ, in the Word of God. Paul says, he says, we preach Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Brothers and sisters, if we preach Christ, that's what we need to preach. We don't need anything else. We need Christ. That's the message that we want to get out to people, that he can do mighty things. And that's our calling. As Christians, we, like we said, it says to be witnesses throughout the world. We're to be prayerful in our proclamation and our witnessing. We're to have the power of God through the name of Jesus Christ on our lips to talk about Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I know nothing among you, brethren, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Christ is our message. And prayerfully, we need to get that message out. So here they're going to prayer. He didn't have any silver or gold. He said, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand. He lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankles, bones received strength. And he was leaping and stood up and walked and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising the Lord. Yeah, that was me. That was you. We were dead in our sins. And then God, in his mercy, gave us life, strengthened us, took out our heart of stone and gave us a heart of flesh. So in our lives, we can have the power of God working through us because we're prayerful like the apostles were here. They preached. We're to be witnesses. We can do that. God's given us lips. I think it was Richard Baxter, he says, that's what our mouths were created for. Our mouths were created to preach God's word and to tell about Jesus Christ. That's why God gave us our mouths. So how do we apply this to our lives? How do we apply all these things, prayer, witnessing, in our lives? Well, the Bible tells us, it says in Hebrews, it tells us we're to throw off every weight and the sin that so easily entangles us. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So what's the first thing we do? We throw off. We don't get conformed to this world. We be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We be transformed by our prayer life. And even that word, the prayer life, it's kind of, I get it, but that's not enough, just having a prayer life. Our life should be marked by prayer as Christians. That should be our lives, that we are prayerful. Not just a prayer life, but a life of prayer. And we're to throw off the sin that so easily entangles us. It's not going to be part of us. We're not going to let it have dominion over us. Why? Because we're in Christ, and we lean upon him. We confess our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we throw off. What else do we do? We run. In Jeremiah, it talks about the heavenly footman. Paul tells us, he says, run that you may obtain. And he says what? Not a perishable crown, but an incorruptible crown. So we're to run with perseverance. Looking, I think about, it said that when Christ was going to the cross, he set his face like flint. To go to a cross. But what does it say here? It says, for the joy that was set before him. We haven't suffered anything like that in our lives, but what Christ went through. And with the way things are going, we may. But we need to be persevering. We need to be steadfast. We need to be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We need to continue to keep our hearts and our minds on Christ, because he promises to keep us in perfect peace. And then lastly, look I heard that was the thing that Charles Spurgeon got saved by. Look unto me. We're to look, not just unto anyone, we're to look unto Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God, throne of God. We can look to Christ. And like I said, we haven't suffered like he has. By no means. But even if we do, in the midst of it, we keep our eyes and our gaze upon Jesus Christ. And he said, in this world you will have trials and tribulations. He said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And then, as this man, leaping and praising God, that's the way I feel when I walk away from a good conversation about the Lord Jesus Christ. I feel like, praise God. I feel a bounce in my step. And I'm thankful to God that he used me in that opportunity to be faithful in the opportunities that he gives us to do, that he gave me to do. So I hope you consider that we need to be prayerful. We need to be persistent in our witnessing and be faithful when those opportunities arise. And knowing that we have the power of God when we're in those situations, we have Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, and that we can praise God with our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the apostles' example. We thank you for Jesus Christ and what he has done. And Lord, that all the suffering, and you promised that even we who believe will suffer. And Lord, that we know that you'll be with us through it all, no matter what it may be. Though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you promised that you will never leave us, that you will be with us, even to the end of the age. So we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your kindness. Please help us, Lord, to keep our hearts and our minds stayed on you. Keep us steadfast, immovable, always abounding in your work. Let us never shy away. Let us never be ashamed in any way, Lord. But let us be bold witnesses. Let us proclaim Jesus Christ and him crucified. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful message of grace that you've given us, that we can go out and be faithful. Lord, we long for that day that we see you face to face. We long for that day to enter into the joy prepared for us before the foundation of the world. What a great day that will be, Lord. I thank you for these brethren here. I thank you for this church, Lord. I ask you to bless them. Bless our time together. May all that we do and say be pleasing and honoring to you, Lord. For you are worthy, O God. We praise you and we love you. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.